Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I want to talk about two things. First, I want to talk about the supposed No Kings movement. And then I also want to talk about the over-reliance on AI to play roles that were only meant for humans and for God. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. So the first thing I want to get into, actually, is this AI thing. Because it's going to be a longer topic than the other topic. The AI problem, we've been hearing about it for the last few years. And it is that when people are confronted with this site, this program, that not only supposedly knows everything, can also communicate with you in a human-like manner. It can't feel emotions, but it can generate responses that look almost like a human's responses would be. The temptation is there to over-rely on it and become overly close to it in the way you would a human, because our brains are not very good at distinguishing the difference, especially when we're already used to talking to people over the internet. And this is not to say that we should not use AI at all. Now, if you'd asked me a year or two ago, I would have been much colder toward it. Although even then, I had to use it when ChatGPT was first coming out to help me with a class I was taking at the time because the textbook was thoroughly inaccessible. But that's the thing. AI is a tool, but it is not a crutch. I'm not saying something that nobody else has ever said. I'm not going anywhere that no one has gone before in this, what I'm about to say. But AI is a tool. It is not a crutch. And even as a tool, it is not perfect, because it can spit out stuff that is not correct, because it is having to scan through the entire internet and spit something out in a few seconds. And as we all know, not everything on the internet is true. I mean, it's even a cliche. Oh, if it's on the internet, it must be true, as like a sarcastic joke. We've all heard that at least a few times in our lives. So, when you have a chatbot that is going through the entire internet and having to generate an answer to your question or your prompt, it can mess up. It can get stuff wrong. It can put things that are not true or that are only partially true. So while it can be a tool, we should not over-rely on it. We should look at other sources, too. I would say we can also think critically, which, yes, we should. But if we don't know the answer, if we don't know the difference, we might not always be able to suss out what is true and what's not just by trusting our gut alone. It can help. But it can't always help us without looking at other sources. So if you're going to look at AI, if you're going to use AI for something, especially something important, you should also look at other sources. Now, it's different if you're casually curious about something. Like, I'm sure we've all done it when you're bored. You type in something like, what if cats were green, you know? Because you're just kind of casually curious about it, and if you asked a real human, they'd probably laugh you off the face of the earth. And it can spit out a little something about what that might look like. And since it's hypothetical anyway, and you're not using it for a project, you don't necessarily need to do a deep dive on it, unless it's really the hill you want to die on. But for most of us, it's not. So that's one thing. You just have a little fun. I have it draw stuff, you know, you can have it draw a picture, And, you know, you can even use it for more serious things. I've said before that the logo that we have, that we've had for the last probably 2 months now, can't remember exactly, was drawn by ChatGPT. However, comma, that's starting to get into the other reason we shouldn't over-rely on it. Not only because what it spits out is not always accurate, but when it comes to art, there is a controversy, has been for some time now, about people using AI art, AI music, AI drawings, poetry, and citing it as their own and getting credit for it, and sometimes benefiting financially from it. Like, I've heard that there was an author that drew flack recently because they told ChatGPT to write portions of their book in the style of a certain other author, and it was very controversial because it was obvious that they were trying to emulate the author, and the fact that they used AI to do that and did not give any credit. They passed the work that AI generated off as their own work. You know, that's not cool. And there are people that have been going to, like, craft fairs and stuff and have been bringing AI art, AI drawings, AI projects, and then beating out people that actually made something, actually put in the effort and the time, and are making money off of it. So, you know, that's not cool either. So I can see there being a controversy there with people using AI, not citing it, passing its products off as their own and making money off of it. And there's also the problem where students are turning in schoolwork. They're telling ChatGPT or some other chatbot to write a paper or write an essay for them and just turning in what it spits out, which not only can potentially cause problems when it comes to what it spits out not always being factually accurate, but more importantly, it can cause academic dishonesty issues because you're cheating. You're not doing the work. You are turning in something you didn't write and passing it off as your own work. It's, you could even probably say it's both cheating and plagiarism. Now, what I did was when I had that class, I would ask the AI the question and I would read what it said, but I would still reword it and put my own thoughts or other changes in as if I were reading it from the textbook. Because I was basically treating the AI as like I was reading a textbook. I was treating it the same way, like a tool. I was not just copy-pasting what it spit out and passing that off as my own work. There is a difference there. And when it comes to the art concern, I told it what to generate. I told it, I was the one who thought of the idea that I want a fireplace and I want to be wearing a red dress in the picture and all that. And the only reason I even did that is because I'm not ever in a place where I'm sitting in front of a fireplace and I'm not surrounded by 50 million people where it's hard to get a good shot. So, you know, there are differences there and we need to be cautious of how we use AI. And then that also gets into my other thing, is people are using AI as like a confidant, a counselor, a friend, or a partner. And that is concerning. Yes, it can be good to also use it to help brainstorm something. Like, you know, you could feed into it, like, this is what I'm thinking of doing, how are different ways that could work out? Even then, you shouldn't over rely on what it says, but it can be a helpful tool to have like another set of eyes on whatever you're thinking about. If you're brainstorming for a project or something. As I said, you shouldn't over rely on it. You shouldn't exclusively use it for all your brainstorming, but it can be helpful there. Some people might disagree with me on that, but that's what I think. But there is a line there where you should not view AI as a counselor, like a therapist, or as a friend, or as a, even more concerning, as a partner. Because those are roles that should be played by people. Now, I think that therapy is overused personally, but whether you think that or not, it should not be a chatbot that is serving in that role. Because one, if that site ever gets hacked, all that data is going to go out into the rest of the world. Everybody's going to be able to see what you put in there. And or the hacker can, like, not necessarily distribute it to the whole world, but could give it to actors that really do not have your best interests at heart, that are either making money off of you or could use that overly personal information to hurt you in some other way. So we do need to be cognizant of that. But beyond that, God said it is not good for man to be alone. So if you are using AI as a friend, or even more concerning, if you're using AI as a partner, what you're doing is you are relying on that chatbot instead of another person. So you are still effectively isolating yourself. You're still alone in that. You're just giving yourself the illusion of not being alone by talking to this chatbot. And when you rely on AI to be your friend, you're probably not going to talk as much to your actual human friends, and or you're probably not going to make a lot of new friends or maintain the friendships you have, because instead you're going to devote your time to the chatbot, to the AI friend, because we only have so much time. There's only 24 hours in a day, so you know, you don't have infinite time to devote to every friendship you would like to maintain. And we already have a loneliness problem in our society, so this is only going to make it worse. I read somewhere that having no friends can be as bad for you as smoking. You know, it can be as unhealthy as chain smoking. I don't remember where I read that, but I did read that somewhere. And so that is very concerning when people are lonely, they're isolated, they're hurting, and instead of trying to fix it, trying to get closer to God, or trying to get closer to other people, or both, they're instead talking to machines, to chatbots. And it's even more concerning when instead of a friend, they see that chatbot as a partner. Because for one thing, God has called each and every one of us to get married and have a family. Now, if you can't physically have children of your own, you can still adopt some of the children who need a home. And even if you can physically have children of your own, you can also adopt. There should be no problem with that. I'm still as against IVF as I've ever been, because it commodifies human life and babies were not meant to be born in test tubes. That's an abomination. I've been clear on that, and that's my belief, and that's always probably going to be my belief, because it's the most biblically accurate view as I see it. And also, because you're commodifying human life, literally by buying and selling these embryos and destroying the ones that are not sold by their sell-by date, the way we would throw away a gallon of milk, that's the closest analog to slavery, the closest legal analog. There is still slavery in the world, and it's illegal, but it still exists. But the closest legal analog to that aspect of slavery, of buying and selling people, is the IVF and surrogacy industry. Obviously, it's not the exact same, because the babies are not being forced to work or to perform other acts, let's just say. At least you would hope not. But both slavery and that industry both have the aspect where people are bought and sold. But getting back onto the main topic here, with AI, if you are using AI as your girlfriend or your wife or your husband or whatever, then you've already committed yourself, so you're not going to seek a human relationship, a relationship that God has for you. So you're not fulfilling that calling. Now, a lot of people don't fulfill that calling anyway without AI, but if your reason for not fulfilling that calling is that you've wedded yourself to AI, that is truly disturbing. It shouldn't even need to be said, but that is not what God intended. Because that part of a marriage, now I've never been married, so I'm not going to attempt to give marriage advice, because it would be as useful as me giving skydiving advice. But what I will say is that generally in a relationship, a marriage or a dating relationship, part of the relationship is that you and your partner grow together. Even if you're not the same age, you still both are growing as people. Not only in the kingdom of God, but also just in daily life struggles and living together and overcoming obstacles. That's why it's concerning, part of, beyond the fact that divorce can mess up children, that's part of why it's concerning that the divorce rate is so high. Because part of the point of a marriage and a relationship in general is that you and your partner are supposed to work through things. I understand that divorce can be an option as a last resort. I'm not saying otherwise, but it should be that, a last resort. Because you and your partner should work through things together and grow together and improve together and build and maintain a family together. You and your partner should both be upstanding members of your community and should both raise children who will then also go on to fulfill some sort of calling that God has given them. You don't have to work yourself to death and have no fun. I obviously do not condone that. But each person should contribute something, whether they work outside the home or inside the home. Every person should have some sort of honest industry that helps them contribute to the community and keeps them from just falling into inertia and becoming idle. Because there is a saying that idle hands are the devil's plaything. There is truth to that. Which is another reason why the AI partner or overuse of AI in general is concerning, because you're wasting massive amounts of time just talking to a chatbot. But if you are quote unquote wedded to an AI partner instead of a human, you're not doing that. You're not getting married. You're not having a family. You may be contributing to the community in some way, but your partner definitely isn't, because your partner's not real. Your partner is not growing with you it may be learning more about you because of what you feed into it, because it's part of the draw of AI is machine learning. It learns, quote unquote, but it's not growing with you. It's not living life with you. It's not helping you raise kids and overcome obstacles and maintain a clean house and contribute to your community and be active in your church. It's not doing any of that because it's a machine. It's not a real person. It's just this chatbot, this program that you talk to and it spits stuff out in response. So, you know, it's not much better than marrying a toaster. Or a leaf or a banana. I guess a banana would be especially bad because those things go bad after like 2 days. But the point is, it's not human. Neither are those things. And then the other thing you run into, whether you're relying on AI to be your partner or your friend or your confidant, your therapist, is that, yes, there's always a level of you can't control when the relationship will end because with a human, because of death, God can take us at any time. However, comma, with AI, you don't have to form that relationship with the AI. You can live just fine without it. People did for thousands of years. So you are unnecessarily signing yourself up for a relationship that could end for reasons beyond your control, because there's been a lot of fear-mongering over the last several years about the sun possibly sending a massive solar flare our way that could knock out the internet for months or years on end. I don't know when or if it will happen. None of us do. And even if we did, we can't usually do a whole lot about it because it's the sun. So whether it's because of that or because of a cyber attack or a carrier outage, which we've seen more of those in recent years, some of them lasting hours, or just a generic power outage due to a natural disaster or, you know, an attack or some other reason. All of those things can cause you to suddenly not have access to this chatbot that you are now dependent on. So you're forming an unnecessary dependence on something that will not last, that you don't know when it will, you don't know when it will be taken from you, because you are reliant on the internet and the power grid and all these systems that most of us don't even understand fully, let alone are able to fix or to diagnose the issue with if something happens to them. You know, that's why over-dependence on advanced technology should concern us all. Now, I'm not saying that we should then go and live in cabins in the woods and be hermits. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that we should not over-rely on technology, because when you become overly dependent on something, you never know when or if it will fail. You know, that is setting yourself up for failure. Not only is it setting yourself up for like financial failure in the workplace, if you're relying on AI or the internet or computers, and possibly like emotional failure, because if you're addicted to social media or some other internet related thing, but then if you're using AI as your friend or your partner or your closest confidant, you're setting yourself up for unnecessary spiritual, emotional, and mental failure by tethering yourself to this machine. And it's even worse than than relationships with humans that can always end with the person passing on before you. Because at least when you have a family member or a friend or your wife, husband, son, daughter pass away, you have others who also knew that person and can grieve with you, can help support you through it. You can help support them through it. But if your chatbot disappears, even if it's not because of a common outage, even if it's because, I don't know, the company goes out of business or something, if your chatbot disappears, you're not going to really have people to help grieve with you and support you in the same way, even though your brain's going to grieve the same way it would, or similar to how it would, if a human passes away or leaves your life in some way. And, you know, because the internet, one of the main problems with the internet is that it has isolated people, driven them apart. If the internet ever did go down, not even just AI chatbots, but the whole internet, then it might be harder for people to come together and cope, because the very thing that drove them apart, the very thing that has gone down, that they've all lost, has driven them apart. So that should concern us all too. And then the other thing with these AI chatbots as partners specifically is that God made intimacy for marriage. He made intimate acts for marriage. But the chatbots, especially the ones that are specifically marketed to be girlfriends or whatever, that's what they pivot to. They pivot to the smarm and the flirtatious talk. I obviously don't engage with these sites, but that's what I have heard from, like, the ads for them and stuff, and from others that have described what these sites are like. They don't try to get to know you as a person the way that a normal human is at least supposed to. Now, there are some guys and girls out there that just want to sin, so even with a human relationship, it's not always going to be perfect. But these sites, part of their programming is that they lean into that side of it very heavily. And sometimes it's not just talk, sometimes it's images and stuff like that. And so, you know, these sites are taking what God intended to be for marriage and trivializing it, contributing even more to our culture's tendency to do that over the last, especially several decades. Which does not help their case at all. So, we should not be over-relying on AI and having AI play roles that were only meant for humans, and specifically for humans that you trust that God puts in your life to serve those purposes as close friends and partners and such. Now, I want to move on to the quote-unquote no kings movement. It's not new. It's not original. It's a new name for the same crap. During the last Trump term, we had the resistance, or whatever they called themselves. They were resisting. They were fighting back against the man, or whatever. I've been saying a lot of or whatevers because a lot of it was just performative, was not actually doing much except annoying everyone. Obviously, I wasn't annoyed by it at that time because that was back when I was a leftist, but If I had been the person you know and love now, back then, I would have been like, eye roll city. I would have been like, can we please stop? This is getting old. It's getting so old. We're looking at nursing homes, and it's only been month two. So that's how I feel about this No King stuff. And not only am I annoyed by it, because it's cheesy and it's performative and it's not doing anything except drawing attention to the fact that some people are miserable. It's basically like the person that goes to a party, like a family gathering or something, and does not want to be there. So they spend the entire time making everybody else miserable because they're not happy. They're the person that shows up at Thanksgiving and critiques how everybody else eats too much and everybody else is fat. And I'm on this diet and we should not be eating this food because this food is terrible for you because it's going to kill you and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or they're like the kid in Walmart that does not want to be in Walmart. So he just screams and cries and says he wants to go home and kicks and flails and just makes the biggest scene he can. Even though it's not going to change anything because his mom still needs to get groceries. That's what this kind of performative politics reminds me of. The people that they're miserable, they don't like something, so they're gonna make the biggest scene they can, even though they're not accomplishing anything. So, No Kings is annoying for that reason. But it's also deeply hypocritical, because these people who are meowing about No Kings, they were the same people that 5 years ago, 4 years ago, if you questioned the lockdowns or the masks or the vaccine or the 2020 election, let alone if you dared to say what I believe, which is that COVID is not real, and I still believe that. You know, if you had any questions at all, you were killing people. We were all gonna die. It was the end of the world. How dare you? You're a this and a that. You're a denier. You're hateful. You're all these things and more. These were the same people that would jump down your throat if you questioned any of that. These were also the same people that would jump down your throat if you said that January 6th was, you know, a riot, something we shouldn't condone, but was not an insurrection. Which is what I believe, you know, shouldn't be rioting at the Capitol, shouldn't be rioting anywhere. Rioting is not productive and it's annoying and it causes a lot of unnecessary issues and nothing. Nobody ever benefits from it. But that does not mean that it's an insurrection. But these were the same people that if you said any of that, they would jump so far down your throat, you'd be coughing them up for the next 2 years. So I really don't want to hear No Kings from these people. Because the way they acted about these topics was very similar to what would happen if you questioned the monarchy back in the days when you did have kings that had absolute power. If you dared to make jokes about the monarch or say he was incompetent or he was wrong or he... If you dared to say he had any flaws, especially back in the very ancient times, you could be ridiculed, killed, exiled. You name it. Because this was before, like, parliaments and democracies, really. This was, like, back when the kings had absolute power. Now, granted, these no kings people aren't killing anyone or banishing anyone. But they are ridiculing and, or they were ridiculing and shaming people that questioned, their agenda items, that questioned their kings, their figures. So I don't want to hear it. Period. End of story. So those are my thoughts on that. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also email us if you feel so inclined at Jesse's Fireside Chats. That's J-E-S-S-E-A-S firesidechats@gmail.com. You can also contact us on X at JFSCpod or on Facebook at Jesse's Fireside Chats. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to be a guest, please feel free to reach out using any of those platforms. We'd love to have you on. And we have a coffee page, so no pressure, but if you'd like to leave a small donation to help support us, we would love that. So that is kofi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. And please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested. Please feel free to leave us a 5-star review if you're on a platform that has that option. And feel free to come back next time and have a blessed day.